Lovely to have you guys here. Thank you for coming. It's great to see our evening services grow as it does. I'm preaching from my phone tonight because I forgot the iPad at home. So hopefully, please don't WhatsApp me. If you do, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to make you stand right here like a naughty boy. Watch it. Okay. Maybe I must put it on flight mode. Nah. Let's fly somewhere tonight. Ha! Okay, I'm flying. I'm flying solo. Let's go. Anyway, so tonight I want to share a word with you that, you know, that changed my life a lot. Still changing my life. And it's one of those things that all of us struggle with. All of us have got a war that is raging in our heads, and you know, and for some of us, it's the war of must I go and eat something or not. For others, I will not go and eat anything. I am fasting. For some of us, it's you know, the war of am I good enough. For some of us, it's the war of, you know, who am I? So it's a lot of stuff, you know, that's in our head, and when we speak about this tonight, I wanna comfort you. Firstly, I wanna say, listen, you're not unique. All of us are going through this, but we need to know how to fight when it comes to our minds. You know, my wife actually told me something this afternoon or last night. I can't remember. But it was just such a revelation to me, because many times, you know, we go through life and stuff happens. Stuff happens in all of our lives. And then we grow, you know. And kind of, you know, from the one place, you look back a year, and then some years have got more growth than others. Sometimes we've got more, you know, nonsense in our lives than other times. And sometimes there's a supernatural thing that happens, or life just happens, and you are forced to deal with situations and things that you don't normally do, and then you grow through that. But then you get years like the one I've had, and you know, God has done a lot of things in me just over this past year. And I was, you know, thinking, yeah, but this and this and this and this. And then Danielle just told me, you know what happened? You read through the Bible. And it's not rocket science. We all know that we must read the Word. I am a pastor. You pay me to do what I'm doing. Okay, not all of you, but I mean some of you. Joking. It's just a joke. Hallelujah. It's just a joke. Bad one, yeah, but at least it's a joke. Anyway. Yeah, don't speak about money and stuff, you know. No, anyway, no, it's open, you know. If you want to know anything about the money in this church, speak to Valelem or speak to William. If you don't trust me, or speak to the elders, they know. Okay, so very transparent in this church. So when it comes to reading the Word, the elders told me and said, you read through the Word. And when I thought about it, you know, after she's, you know, many times she tells me stuff, and then after I thought about it for a while, then I'm like, you're actually right. Why didn't I just listen to you the first time, huh? So I got to this place where I'm thinking, I just read the Word once in a year. And when I thought about it, you know how much revelation I got from the Word of God? Not through preaching, okay? Many of the sermons you've received. But the reason you received those sermons was because I was in the Word. And God was transforming me through His Word without me even knowing about it. And dealing with stuff in me. And uprooting things in me. And planting things in me. As I was just reading the Word. And, you know, we want to so over-spiritualize stuff. You know, I need to have my quiet time. And that's fine. You need to have your quiet time. Get three boys. Then you know, Quiet time is a rare commodity. Very rare. In your house. Then you need to deal with situations you don't normally do. You don't have those times when you're a student, you know, you can sleep until 10 and then you have got like 2 hours, you're not going to class. None of you does that. Nah. Okay. You go to class very faithfully. And you are in this place where you think, well, I must have this deep revelation of God every time that I read the Word. And that's fine. But that is a big lie for keeping you out of the Word of God. Because now you read the Word and you didn't receive anything. You're like, I didn't receive anything now, so okay, I'll try it again. You try it once more and then, I didn't receive anything. And then you stop. Because you don't have this woo-ha revelation moment every time you read the Bible. Stop eating for a day. You don't have a woo-ha meal every you can. But I mean, you don't make a fuss about eating. But if you don't eat for a week, people will start seeing it. If you don't eat for 40 days, we will definitely see it. And if you don't eat for 3 months, then we will be at your funeral. And that's just physical. It is the same thing in the spirit. Stop reading that word, you know, even in a disciplined fashion. Read the word every day. Okay? Duval, read the word every day. Again. I'm 10 days behind on my reading plan. Once again. Read the word. Read the word. Read the word. It changes you even though you don't think so. So, why am I saying all of this? Because it's here. It's in our heads. It's in our mind that the battle is raging. Okay? So, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3 to 6, the one that I quoted for you guys on my previous sermon. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against what? Against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay? So, the weapons of our warfare is, you know, we want to get so spiritual regarding these things, but it's easy. Just look at that word, that piece of scripture. So there's a war, and in that war, we do not war according to the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty in God. Okay, so this is all about the war. And then it says the weapons that we use are what? It is mighty in God, okay, not in yourself, for pulling down strongholds. Okay, so let's stay there. What is a stronghold? Turn to the person next to you and say, in your understanding, what do you think is a stronghold? All right, so given that, when you think about a stronghold, I'm going to, before we go on to the next slide, you know, it's something that I've learned, you know, when we had a lady come visit our house. A stronghold is kind of like this. Okay, those of you who can't see, this is the cap of the water bottle. It is actually, at the moment, it's nothing, but I got it. Okay? It's nothing. It's just a cap. But what happens is, if I told you, you know what? If you stroke this cap every hour, it's going to start to have power. And now you're like, you're not thinking, no, it's nonsense. But then, maybe I'll just stroke it once. And now, after an hour, you stroke it again. Now you say, hey, because this cap is spun around because you stroked it. Now it's spun around. And now you say, come here, my friend. Come and look at this. Come and stroke this thing. And your friends start to stroke it. And now it spins around twice. Ooh. And the more you stroke this and you invite people to stroke this, this thing becomes powerful. It's just a cap. But the more focus and attention you put on this spiritually, the more this cap really gets demonic power behind it. All right, so when we speak about strongholds, let's just go to the next slide. A stronghold is, you know, according to the, it's a place that has been fortified so that as to protect it against attack. Okay, so that is a physical stronghold, like in the old days, a castle that's on a high place or, you know, on an island where you can't really attack it. So that is what a stronghold is. Synonyms is a fortress, a fort, a castle, all of those things. And then the next one is more like where we are at. It's a stronghold. It's a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. Okay? So a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. That is a stronghold. Okay, so when you start to think about just strongholds, you know, it's not a massive thing at the beginning. But when it comes to that place where that particular cause or belief is so part of you, you know what? You will do everything to protect that. And you know, if you believe in Christ and in His Word, and that's fine. The way you respond to that challenge when it comes is always in love. You respond to that. But there's a place where the stronghold that is not godly, okay, might also be strongly defended or upheld by other people. Some Christians even, you know, you get to a place where this one quote is actually quite cool to me, you know. Whatever gets your mind gets you. Let me just say it slowly. Whatever gets your mind gets you. So practically, how does it work? Most of you know my background, you know, just with the pornography and the stuff. So how does it work? For those of you who are shocked now, God has delivered me, okay? So that's why I'm speaking. You're like, ooh. Came to this church, ooh. I must leave now. But, you know, you don't wake up one day and you think, you know, I would really like to destroy my life because of pornography. Woo-ha! Let's do this. It starts slowly. It starts with a picture. It starts with something that grabs your attention in your mind. And you know what? That thing that is in your mind, it grows and ultimately becomes a stronghold. So when you are at that place, you know, where you are thinking and this thing is getting your mind, ultimately it will get you. What happened to me was I was so entrenched into this thing was, you know, at first I thought I was a Christian, just to put that in there. But I thought, you know, I can withstand this. And for a while you can. But you are constantly thinking about this. You are constantly thinking, you know, yeah. And you know, and for a man, it's not, you know, it's when you actually go out to do shopping, only shopping, okay? Not no cell phone, no nothing. It is a difficult place to go. Ladies, so you walk past, the tijdschrift, the magazines, and then your eye wants to drift to whatever. And because you are focused on, and you know what? Many times we are so focused on not doing it, we are focusing constantly on that one thing. No, I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to. You're not going to what? I'm not going to do that. What? That. And what gets your mind ultimately gets you. It had me in such a place, you know, that I was physically, like in a spiritual way, but physically, you know, drawn away from relationships, from people, from everything because of this stronghold in my life. It ruled me. It ruled me. And I could say, no, I'm Jesus, please forgive me. And then I feel fine. And then 4 days down the line, whatever, I was back at the same place. It ruled me. So when we are looking at strongholds, you know, in our minds, then it says, go back to the scripture, please. So in the scripture, it says, the big thing is strongholds. Okay, so that is another one. So the weapons of our war for pulling down strongholds, okay? But then it's Paul writing and he says, listen, strongholds is the ultimate thing. You want to pull down the strongholds, but how do you do that? Okay, so from the stronghold, you will go back. First, before it becomes a stronghold, it will be an argument in your head. In your life, it says there. But it will be an argument. And then before that, it will be a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know it's wrong. In your life, you know. But the first thing is it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And if you start going into an argument about that thing, ultimately it becomes a stronghold. Okay? So he breaks it down and he takes it back to that place where, you know, you need to see where it starts. And then he gives us the crux of it at the bottom. And he says, this is how you fight it. So that's, you can go to the slide, the first one that I want to. Another one and another one. So what is a stronghold? It's worldviews or personal attitude. So what is a worldview? A worldview is something that you hold dear. You know, we've got communism. We've got a lot of isms. Okay, you can think about an ism and then that's a worldview. And, you know, people will defend that with their lives. A worldview that they deem, you know, worthy of dying for, actually. That's the one part of it. The other part is just a personal attitude. And, you know, the personal attitude is many times your pain or, you know, yeah, but I'm just like this. I'm just an angry person or anyway. Those things can also become strongholds in your life, you know, because of your personal inclination and who you are or who you think you are in that. So the next slide, I want to just go and focus on the tool. Okay, this is the only tool to beat strongholds in your life. Okay, there's, yes, the Holy Spirit and God and worship and all of those things. But if you want to break down a stronghold that's in your mind, this is what Paul says, the bottom line of it. Breaking it down from the stronghold to the arguments, to the high things. For you to break that down, you must take every thought captive. Every thought. Okay, that is difficult, people. Very difficult, because every thought, especially when you are at the stronghold, ask me, when you are in that place where the stronghold rules your life, it is a tough place. But Christ can do everything in us because that is what he says in his word. Christ can do, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you must want to. You must want to break the stronghold of whatever in your life. And you start here. You start by taking every thought captive. So how does it work? And this is how I got delivered. Yes, people prayed for me and I did all of that stuff. And, you know, God did a lot of healing in my life. But ultimately, the thing that got me free was this. When I came to the place of taking every thought captive, that comes. But don't just be passive about this. Don't just say, okay, here comes the thought. Because that is where Satan attacks us. You know, wars and stuff are not fought for just money necessarily. It's fought for ideas, intellectual stuff. So it starts with an idea that is planted in somebody's life, in somebody's mind. And you must just discern those thoughts that come to you. Because it might be your own thoughts, you know. It might be God's thoughts, but it might be Satan's fiery arrow, fiery darts that is connecting with your head. So now, this thing comes. Okay, Deval, go and do this. Or, this is how it sounds in your head. Okay, let's get away from the porn. Let's go to eating. Wouldn't it be nice to have a pizza now? Yes. And now you go and have a pizza. And you've just eaten the pizza. You are stuffed. And you're like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a coffee and some chocolates now? Yes. And you stuff it. Because you want. And you are constantly, you're not responding to necessarily a physical thing. It's ideas. It's thoughts that come to you. And you need to take those things captive. So what do? You say, when you get that thought, I want to eat a pizza. And you know, I've just eaten 2 hours ago. I'm not hungry. You say, I take this thought of eating pizza captive. And I subject it to Jesus Christ. It is not of God. But then, don't leave the vacuum. That is what got me to get over this thing. You can't just take out a thought and then leave it nothing. You know what? Another thought will come and it will fill that place. You need to start speaking the word of God into your own life. So you take the thought captive and then you say, I am not this. This is what the word of God says of me. And then you declare it over yourself. And then what I've done, I started to pray for people. So whenever I get a thought, I start to pray. So I just get the thought, take it captive, say it's not of God. God, I pray for Yaku. Yaku is amazing. God, I pray, Lord, that you will bless him and bless his family and bless and bless and bless. And then another thought. God, I pray that you would just bless Marae. I pray, Lord God, for their marriage. I ask, Lord God, that you would bless their marriage and let them have many kids. So, in that process, you know what? The thoughts actually became less. You know, this is not scriptural. But I think, you know, Satan was like, oi. Every time I try to tempt him with the thoughts, he prays for somebody. I don't want to give him no more thoughts. Because he's praying for people when I tempt him. And you start to get to that place where you are replacing, you know, a bad habit. And you know, Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. You know what? The world always plays catch up to the word of God. This was already written thousands of years ago. And now all of these smart people, you know, the psychologists and the people in their heads, and they're just like, you know what? The brain is an amazing thing. When you look at the brain, then there's neural pathways, like an N1. Why is it an N1? There's lots of traffic on the N1. The brain is like that. If you are constantly using one neural pathway, that pathway becomes stronger in your brain, physically, okay? So it's a physical thing that happens in your brain because of dopamine and all of these. Because you know what? We don't sin because it's not nice. Sinning is lekker, people. That's why we do it. One amen will be good. We sin because we like it. When you are doing your pornography, you know, there's like enzymes and you know, a lot of stuff that gets released in your brain that makes you feel like, oh, this is nice. For like 20 seconds or whatever, I don't know. And then you're like, oh, yes, this is the utopia of everything. It's wonderful. And then you get thrown down. That's what addiction does. If it's, you know, if it's pornography, or if it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's reading books, can't get enough of all these Mills and Boons and stuff. If it's, don't matter. Whatever the addiction is. Why do you have that? Because you are aspiring to get this utopia feeling, which is in your brain, you know? And God gave it to us, people. God gave us this whole thing here in our heads so that we can experience what? Pleasure. God says in his word, you know, at my right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. God loves it. But God also knows that it is, when it's directed towards evil, it kills you. kills you emotionally, it kills you spiritually, it kills you physically, ultimately. And you get to that place where because you don't take these thoughts captive, and I'm just back to those neural pathways. Now, they say, listen, it takes about 3 weeks for that neural pathway to be broken in your mind physically. I'm just now physiologically speaking in your brain. The Bible says in Romans 12. Whenever there's a tendency in your life to do certain sins constantly, go and look at yourself in the mirror and say, God, I'm willing to submit to your word. Okay, not to the cell phone, the word in the cell phone. Okay? I'm willing to submit to your word. And your word says that what I am doing is wrong. And then you can either argument it away and it becomes a stronghold in your life. Or you can say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but you must help me. Please deliver me from this stronghold in my life. It is killing me. Maybe it feels nice now. Ultimately, it will kill you spiritually because you will stand before God and he's like, Deval, you haven't repented of this thing in your life. Constantly going at it. All right, so taking every thought captive. I just want to finish tonight. No, I've got some time left. Hallelujah. So I'm finishing with the last 20 minutes. Three principles that I want to just hold before you guys for winning the battle for your mind. The way to beat it was the one tool that you've got I've given you. So the first one is don't believe everything that you think. That is the first one. Practically, don't believe everything that you think. Because the Word of God says a lot of stuff about our mind, will, and emotions. You know, that soul part of ours. It says in Deuteronomy 28:20, that part is confused, anxious in Job 17. It's evil or restless in Ecclesiastes. It's rash and deluded, Leviticus and Isaiah. It is a troubled mind, 2 Kings 6. A depraved mind, 1 Timothy 6:5. A sinful mind, Romans 8:7. Or a dull mind, 2 Corinthians 3. A blinded mind, 2 Corinthians 4. Or a corrupt mind, 2 Timothy 3:8. You know, God is very deliberate when he says in Isaiah, I think it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Thank you, my wife. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? So when you are operating from the place of my mind, will, and emotions, know that 90% of the time you might be lying to yourself. Because what Scripture says. Because your heart and the things that you want as a sinful, fallen being is mostly not according to God's will. That's why Christ had to come and die for us. Because we can't do that. We don't make the cut. Jeremiah 17:9, that's the place where it stands. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know, and then Paul goes on and he says that weird place in Romans 8, I think, where he says, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, that I do. And then he goes on with this list and he says, who is going to save me of this wretched body of sin? Christ will, hallelujah, for that. So, in that place of don't believe everything you think, know that you are very prone to lie to yourself to make things seem better. I know, Deval has been there. You know how it works? We know lying is wrong, right? Lying is a sin. We all know that. But you know what we do? We compare. We go like this. When we are sinning and we know it's wrong. So, I don't want to sin anymore. So, now I get to this place where I'm comparing because I want to be better. That's what the Bible has given for us most, to become better. No. The Bible is given for us to become righteous, not better. You will be better because you are righteous. But many people are taking the Bible and they want to be a better person. Now you're like, yeah. Okay, God, look how small this cap is in comparison with this water bottle. So you take your sin and then you compare it either to other people or to your sin in your life that you've done before. So you say, you know, what I'm doing now, it's not as bad as what I've done 2 years ago. So this is okay. You lie yourself happy, people. You lie yourself happy because now it's okay for you to do this little thing. Because it's not as big as the big stuff that you've done. And then, hallelujah, you feel fine. Your conscience is seared, or you think so. But you know what this is? Sin. You know what sin does? It kills you. The wages of sin is death. And again, and that is what the world is warring against, people. The whole world is warring against the Word of God. Whoever you are, you must go and stand in that mirror of the Word of God and say, God, look at me. Judge me. You know that other word that you don't say? Judge me. That's what David said. David said, God, judge my heart so that I may please you on this side of eternity. Hallelujah. You don't want to be judged by God's word on the other side of eternity, people. That is it's bad, really bad. Because when you get to that side of eternity, without looking at the word of God, that is the standard. That is what God has given us. So if you feel that your sin is fine, you are in grave danger. If your sin, according to the Bible, is sin, my pornography, or somebody that is a drunkard or a liar. That is what the word says. No drunkard, no liar, no pornographer, no nothing. No, none of those will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then you can lie to yourself and say, ah. Or you can say, God, this is serious stuff. Please help me. And God will. So what happens is we all have blind spots, people. Some of us are bold spots like me. But we all have blind spots. We need to look in, you know, in God's word and have other people speak into our lives to show us where are the things that are really not godly. And many times God gives us a nice good storm, you know, to surface some of this stuff in our lives. Second thing that we need to do to beat this thing is guard your mind from garbage. When we eat food, then there's three types of things. You get food that is good for you, that's actually building you. Then you get bad food that is like junk food. It's nice to eat, but it's not really building you, but it's not killing you. Okay? Not yet, yet. Hallelujah, yet. And then you get like poison, and poison kills you. Okay, so those are the three things. Same thing here with what we let into our minds and into our eyes and into our ears from this world. You know, you can sit there on Facebook like forever, or YouTube or whatever, and you just watch a lot of things, and you're not sinning because you're not watching porn or whatever. But it's garbage. And you are filling yourself with nothingness. There was a movie way back, The Never Ending Story. The nothingness is going to get you. You are filling yourself with nothingness. And the Word of God is what's supposed to be in you, supposed to be sustaining you. And it's not necessarily poison yet, like my sister over here says. But it says here in Proverbs 15:14, it says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the food feeds on trash. What are you feeding on? Are you feeding on trash? Or you are hungry for knowledge? Knowledge in the Word of God. Wisdom in the Word of God. Okay? Last thing. Okay, sorry, not that one. But just last two things on guarding your mind from garbage is there's two ways that we can guard our minds. Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says, it says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? So that is the first part of what Paul writes to the Philippians on how you can guard your mind. Pray always. Be anxious for nothing. Be in that place of communicating with God constantly. That is one way that you guard your mind. The other thing that you do, and it just continues on from that, it says, finally, brothers, this is the other way that you guard your mind. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. How are we faring? I'm like failing, I know. But that is what it says. To guard your mind and to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Be constantly in communion with God and deliberately focus your mind on the things that are noble, true, just, praiseworthy. And you know, sometimes it's difficult, okay? I know. You don't feel like focusing now on all the good stuff. Scripture says, if you guard your mind, do that, whatever the circumstances may be. And then the last one there is, never let up on learning. Never stop learning. Because when you are teachable, then God can transform your mind. If you are not teachable, you know, it says, God says, He will resist the proud, but He will give grace to the humble. Why? Because the humble are teachable. You know, it's it's one of the worst things to do is to try to teach somebody that doesn't want to be taught. You are wasting your time. You can continue with that person, but you're wasting your time. I heard a quote once, and it stuck with me through my studies. It says that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So you can force your opinion on that person in love, if you want. But if that person is not willing to humble himself, he will not change his mind. It's only through humility that we change our minds. It's only through humility that we get to that place where we say, God, I'm wrong, yeah? But I'm stuck. You need to help me. And God, He loves to come and help us when we are humble and we say, here we are. God, help me. I need to break free of the cycle that is killing me. And God wants to do that. It says there in Proverbs 18, verse 15, the mind of a smart person is eager to get knowledge, and the wise person listens to learn more. And wise men store up knowledge. So if you want to be wise, be humble and learn. Learn from other people. Learn from your mistakes. Don't be haughty. If you get to that place where you are, you know, being proud, and no, I know this is the truth and this is why it's the truth, you know, you've put that argument through your head many times, then maybe you are stuck with a stronghold. And because of your pride, your stronghold stays. Because you're not willing to relent and to say, God, please forgive me. So as Andre and Willem comes up, I want us to just bring our hearts and our minds before God tonight. Because many of us, you know, are stuck in a place where we really want to change. But we can't. Because of a lot of reasons. And I hope that tonight I've given you some ways. You know, break down that thing, you need to come down and say, listen, this is a thought that is not of God. I'm going to take it captive and I'm going to say, I submit you forcefully to the knowledge of Christ in my life. And then you replace whatever came with the Word of God. And then in that place of the Word of God, there you start to see change in you. So let's pray as we stand. You can stand with me tonight. Father, thank you that tonight, God, as we speak about this battle in our minds, God, and in our lives, Lord, we know, and I know especially, God, that it's not news to any of us, God. Lord, we are fallen human beings, God, and we're stuck. We're stuck so much, God, in just bad habits, God, and bad ways, and sinful ways. But God, you are not thrown by any of those. God, when we come to you humbly, willing to repent, oh God, and willing to walk a road with you and other people in our lives, God, then you can change us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And God, you can make us more and more like Christ as we walk this road together. So Father, I pray, Lord God, for every mind and every heart that is stuck somewhere in some stronghold, God, that is just so difficult, Lord, to break free from. Father, I pray, Lord, for grace tonight. And Lord, just from my own life, Lord God, I want to just speak, Lord God, your grace over these people. God, thank you that you can heal, God. Thank you, God, that you can deliver, Lord. Thank you, God, that you can pluck us, Lord God, as a stick, Lord God, that's been in the fire, Lord God, even though we're still smoldering, Lord. Thank you that you will not hurt us. Thank you, God, that you will not break us if we are bent. God, you will nourish us and heal us as we come humbly to you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that every heart and every mind, God, in this place, Lord God, will start to grow to that place of wholeness. And Lord, that every inclination of us, Lord, and of ours as fallen human beings, Lord, just to be sinful in our thoughts, Lord. God, thank you that we can start new neural pathways, Lord, in our lives. We can change our minds, God, and we're not conformed to this world, Lord God, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind through your word and through your spirit, God. So tonight, if that is you, and you know that God is speaking to you because God has already been speaking to you in the week, then I want to pray with you tonight. I want you to come front to the front and to say, God, here I am. I'm struggling with this. And we're trusting God to break that stronghold and that power over your lives. Even if it, in my case, takes a whole year or more sometimes, just to transform your mind. Father, I pray, Lord God, for the courage for people to get back up, Lord. For when we have fallen, God, not to stay there, but to stand up and to say, I will win because Christ has already done it, and I can because Christ gives me the strength to do this. Father, I pray, Lord God, for people to stand up again, Lord. Not to go and fall and sit by the wayside, God, and just perish there. Stand up, Lord, and fight the good fight once again. So if that's you and the Lord is speaking to you tonight, come to the front. Cell leaders, if you can also come to the front and just pray with me. And elders, that would be wonderful. Lord, thank you that you just bring tonight before you, God, and pray, Father, for every heart here. God, I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, God, will not come as condemnation to anybody, because there is real hope in Christ. God, you say in your word, it is for freedom's sake that Christ has come to set us free. God, you want us to be free.